Okay, Exodus chapter 20, let's pray. Our Father, my God, as we look into your holy word, teach us. Just teach us all the things you'd have us to know. Holy ground, to be sure. And we want to treat it as such. So bless this time to our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to do something by way of review a little bit. So thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. Okay, someone said these are not the 10 suggestions of the 10 commandments. Many people say that. Yep, I think incumbent upon us as New Testament believers. Tricky question. Are they incumbent upon us? As New Testament believers, Jesus says, "If you teach someone to break the least commandment, you're least in the kingdom of God." I always have that in the back of my mind. Should we make sacrifices? Should we do? No, but that's a commandment. That's not an option. Well, it's not a commandment to the children of God in the New Testament. It is a commandment to the Old Testament Jews before Christ, yes. To sacrifice a lamb for sin now is not only ineffectual, it's an abomination. It's horrific, right? So are the Ten Commandments superseded by the New Testament? Is it incumbent upon us to keep the Ten Commandments? It depends on what I mean by keep. That is exactly the right, because is it incumbent upon us to keep the Ten Commandments to go to heaven? No, but it never was. I put it this way, and I said this last week, and I think you'll like this. It's not new with me. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the New Testament, we learn our Father. Right? Second commandment, thou shalt not make into thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven. In the New Testament, we learn which art in heaven. And the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. Isn't that coincidental? Yeah, we like coincidence, right? The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the New Testament, again, thy kingdom come. You say, well, wait a second, what does that got to do with rest? Oh, it's a 1,000-year rest. To the people of God, there remains a rest, we learn in the book of Hebrews. This is commandment 5, honor thy father and thy mother. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thou shalt not steal, give us this day our daily bread. You remember David praying at the end of Psalms there. In one psalm, he's saying, don't give me enough so that I don't have to steal. And don't give me too much, or I'll say, you know, who's the Lord, you know? Yeah, we get it. We have found that when we're struggling in one way or another, our prayers are more desperate. Men pray desperate prayers. When we're living, you know, large and everything's going our way for that brief season, whenever it happens, it's like, you know, God, yeah, praise the Lord, you know, but it's not, you're not praying desperate, you're not like cast out on God because you're thinking everything's going good, you know. I don't know if that's true of everyone. It's kind of true with me more than I like to admit. So thou shalt not steal, give us this day our daily bread. Thou shalt not kill, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not commit adultery, lead us not into temptation. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, but deliver us from evil. Thou shalt not covet, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. If you got everything, everything belongs to God, and therefore everything belongs to Jesus Christ and us. When Jesus is the heir of all things, you're the heir of all things. How covet? Why would you do that? It's ridiculous. So it's incumbent upon us. Jesus doesn't say, okay, we don't have to do those things anymore. It's still wrong to steal. It absolutely is. It won't. Not stealing won't get you to heaven, but stealing is still wrong. Okay, so we understand that going in. And as we go through this, We'll see. Some of these things are forever. Forever, don't steal, right? Is that just a Jewish-based thing? There's some things that are Jewish. Okay, let's just jump in. I'm going to go, we got all the way up to steal, but I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit. And God spake all these words, verse 1, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I think he puts them in here in order of importance, the most important commandment, because I think all the other ones, if you get this one right, you'll have a better chance of obeying all the others. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and jealous in a really good way. We discussed that last week. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Okay, rule number one, I'm the Lord your God, don't have any other gods before me. Rule number two, don't invent any new ones. When I was Catholic, this was not a commandment. Did you know that? When I said that last week, I saw a couple of looks like, wait a second, what are you talking about, Willis? Does anyone not know that? I can prove it easy enough, but did you not know that? You didn't know that. It's not a commandment. It's not that you say, well, how do they still come up with 10? There's two, thou shalt not covet. First, you don't covet your neighbor's wife, and then you don't covet your neighbor's all his stuff. And they say, break that into 9 and 10. And it's not even, it's okay. You can have as many little images and you can bow down to them as much as you want. And they will, as a matter of fact, tell you that's a good and a holy thing to do. And if you have a Catholic apologist that you're talking to, say, well, you don't worship them. I don't know that filters all the way down to the laity very often. We put a lot of stock in the icons and the images and, you know, you did the Stations of the Cross, and there was a very real, I mean, we had, there was one thing with you'd be up on the altar rail, right, and they'd have a crucifix, and you'd kiss the feet of it as the priest went by, and he'd have this little handkerchief, and he'd wipe it as, and the next one would kiss, and and of course that killed all the germs, the magic. I don't know, maybe it had Purell on it, I don't know, but, and there was things like that, and graces bestowed for doing things like that. It was a very image, and still is. It still is. If I go to my one of my sister's houses, or one of my brother's houses, or a sister lived in a convent. It wasn't a convent when she lived there. Okay, and the whole thing, the shape of it was like a cross, and they had you couldn't swing a cat, but you'd knock over one of the statuary or something that was there. And that was really decidedly oppressive when we stayed there, wasn't it? It was really not. Anyway, I'm not making any headway. I'll keep going. The third commandment, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. By the way, I think that the Lord made the heaven and the earth in 6 days. Six, as you would think, 24-hour periods. That day-age idea is kind of not really found in Scripture, and people use it to try to explain and try to kind of meet the people, the billions of years people. We could try to meet them halfway. We show them that, you see. But you can't, because still, people aren't created to day six, so it doesn't matter anyway. You really haven't, you know, got room for, molecules to man evolution. If these are ages, and I understand the day doesn't always mean day. We talk about the day of the Lord, and that's not a 24-hour period. I get it. Even Scripture uses the word day that way. I think he's meaning 24-hour periods here, because for eons after day one, right? Day one lasted 47,000 years, And so day seven, the rest day, he wants you to rest for 47,000 million. Really? How come we don't keep Sabbath? We do. I think we keep it better than most Jews, because in the sense that you're not working for your salvation, you're resting in God. They try to keep it in such a way that it became such a burden. It was harder to keep the Sabbath than to break it. Remember, Jesus got in trouble all the time. What are you doing? You're healing this guy on the Sabbath. You can come any day of the week to get healed. Oh, you're getting healed on the Sabbath. What do you think? Can you imagine? My thinking, listen, if you can heal somebody, any day you want to do it, sweetheart, is okay with me. I think anyone, if you want to do that, it's who's telling God he can't heal on the Sabbath? How does that work anyway? First of all, it calls for a six-day work week. So me, I'm already dealing myself out because I like my weekends, right? But here's the other part about it. You remember, it's a Sabbath once a week. There's a Sabbath week. There's a Sabbath of weeks, I should say, the counting of the Omer from Feast of First Fruits, we know it better as Resurrection Sunday, to Pentecost, right? There's a Sabbath of weeks, there's a Sabbath of months, the first month and the last month. Traditional annual Jewish New Year, which happens around September, right? And then Jesus moves that to the springtime, in Passover. He says, this is the first of months. Well, that's 7 months later. Okay, there's a Sabbath of month. There's a Sabbath of years. Every seventh year, you let the slaves go free. Every 77, seven times, the 49 years. And the 50th is a Jubilee year. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye, okay? And if anyone's telling me they're keeping the Sabbath, I have a good friend of mine, he's a Sabbath, that one, Seventh-day Adventist guy. He's born again. He loves the Lord. There are Seventh-day Adventist, I think, who are involved in a cult. I don't think he is, because I've spoken with him at length. He loves the Lord. I think he understands what it is, the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. And so last year was a Shemitah, 7 year. You have to let your garden go fallow. And I was asking him about it, because he's a Sabbath. I said, so what are you doing for the Shemitah? And he's, what? And I said, well, you guys can't plant the garden, because this to him was taboo to even hear that was could happen. So yeah, you got to keep the Sabbath every seventh year. You can't plant. What are you doing? I was, because he came to me and he was saying, is it still wrong to steal? And I said, oh yeah. He said, still wrong to commit adultery? I said, oh yeah, yeah. And I know where he's going. He said, but it's not Sabbath. You can break that any old time you want. I said, well, you think we're supposed to keep all the ritual, all the Old Testament? Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was God's intent. So how was your Yom Kippur observance? And he didn't know what to make of that. We go back and forth. Keep the Sabbath as much as you want. I think you need a day a week to rest. I think that. I really do. I think you need a day. I'm not saying zealously 24 hours, not 23 and a half. Don't tie your shoes. Don't brush your teeth. You can plug your crock pot in the night before and set it on a timer. I'm not that guy. If you go to Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, they have Sabbath elevators that stop at every floor, because so you don't push a button. No, I'm serious. So if you're in the King David Hotel, I've had people tell me this. I'm sure it's true. So you walk in, and all your Jewish friends walk in with you. And because you're going up to six, right? And they'll say, oh, I'm getting off at 3, 4. Because if you push the buttons, they're okay, right? But they can't push the buttons because that's working on the Sabbath. It's still a problem. And if you want to do it, you have my blessing. But don't try to involve me. I'm sorry. I'm not interested in not taking a bath on, Friday night, because I'm worried about spilling, water on the floor, and I'd be washing the floor, right? I'm sorry, I'm not playing. I'm not even going to get involved in that. You can't work. Anyway, it's not the day, because my Sabbath friend there, his whole deal is, well, that's the day that you got to go to, Sabbath school, and you got to go to church, and this is the day. And I'm like, it's got nothing to do with that. As I read this is the day you refrain from work. It's got nothing to do with what day you go to church on. Do I have a problem going to church on Saturday? I'd have church every day if I, you know, could. If there were people here every day and I was, and I had the ability to, you know, if the people came and they wanted a Bible study every day, I would be here every day. Saturday, Sunday, I don't care, all right? And I'd have to take a day off whenever I get around to it. I would have to, but because you can't keep going all the time. Okay, 12, honor thy father and thy mother, thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My son told me that, see, the Bible's not true. What are you talking about? Well, Jesus died young. You didn't think he honored his father and mother? It's not a promise so much as it is, I don't know how to say this right. It's, okay, look, your mom doesn't say, chain smoke cigars, eat greasy foods all the time, drink plenty of beer, have sex with a lot of partners. She didn't say any of that stuff, right? She said, you know, go to bed early. She always wanted me to wear clean underwear, which I was okay with anyway, but I don't know why, in case you get in an accident. That was it, right? I still haven't figured that one out. I'll ask her about it sometime. She'll tell me, you shut up and speak when you're spoken to. Mom will. She'll... because you know how she is, right? I brought you in this world, I can take you out. It's kind of like, if you do these things, if you honor your parents, if you obey them. Now I'm getting to the point where I don't obey mom. Mom doesn't say, if she was running my life, I wouldn't be doing this. Honor looks like a different thing. It looks like, you know, respect. You know, she calls me anytime, morning, noon, or night. I'm not Ray Romano, okay? You know the old... that was a funny show, but could you be married to that guy? You'd kill him. Cut the apron strings at some point. But my mom, I mean, she's my mom. Dad's gone on. But you'd eat bees if your mom asked you to, wouldn't you? Because she's your mom, right? This lady here, she would run through a brick wall if her mom asked her to. I could tell you all the stuff. It would be kind of embarrassing to her, and I don't want to. But her mom called, and it was like, that's it. Mom asks, and we do what she asks. You know, how we can help her, how we can bless her. She ain't gonna be around forever. And now she's gone, and we look back and we think, well, no regrets, huh? It's good that way. And we didn't go to war with her or anything else. Honor your mother and your father. Why? Because they're good people? No, they're sinners. We get it. Because they were so good to you? Nope, doesn't say that. It says you honor them because they're your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. Premeditatedly, do no murder. The next one says thou shalt not commit adultery. What's the penalty for committing adultery? Stoning to death. So thou shalt not kill. Let's go back and revisit that, right? Thou shalt not kill. Now, it's not incumbent upon us to take a life. We're not to murder. That's what it's saying. Would this involve, would abortion be come under that? Yeah, of course it would. Of course it would. Every time I mention abortion, I always like to say, you know, if you're involved in this and people will download this message as well. If you've been involved in that, God forgives. There's programs, you know, that where the healing of God comes and shows people that. But I don't want to soft sell it and say it's not murder, because it is. Suicide is you don't have the right. It's not your life. Well, it's my life. Show me the bill of sales or something. Show me how do you figure that? Any more than the woman who's going to commit have an abortion say, oh, it's my body. It stops a beating heart that's separate from you altogether. It's getting crazy. I'm glad you shared that this morning. And then they all, you know, Virginia, and have you been following this in New York and Governor? You mentioned Governor Cuomo, and they are so excited about their pro-death, right up to the point of birth. Yeah, yeah. A trip through the birth canal, that's the difference between life and death. That's makes you alive once you come out. Once you're on this side here, you're not... Did you think that all the way through? Did you really think of that? That defies common sense. Who does that? Who thinks like that? Well, one one party does and half of the other party does, okay? I don't know a prominent Democrat in the land who's pro-life. We had a few of them here in the state back in the day when Suze was in the Maine State Legislature. She'd tell me, there's a few of them, you know, like up in the county who are from very Catholic, and they had a D next to the name, but they were very pro-life. A few of them. I don't know if there's any anymore. But any kind of murder whatsoever. And Jesus didn't make us easy on us. He made it hard. He said, you can't even get angry at somebody. You're committing murder in your heart. You ought not to kill that guy. And Jesus says, yeah, I hear that loud and clear. I get it. It's wrong. And boy, that changes dramatically. Because I say I like to kill somebody. I don't actually want to kill somebody, but I've said it and I've thought it. I wanted to at the time. And I got saved, and now the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Now we're not thinking like, boy, I couldn't wait to kill that guy. You're thinking, no, he's creating the image of God. He's a knucklehead just like me. He doesn't need the grace of God any more than I do. And you recalibrate. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Enough said, Fred. All sex sin. It's all there. Friends with benefits, booty call. Dating now just means sleeping together. It's the whole thing. A sister was telling me that she had a chance to talk with somebody, and a friend of hers, and they had a ride down to Lewiston together for a training, and you can't expect that they won't sleep together before they get married. And she said, you certainly can expect that, and several of my children have done that successfully. You're talking about Rebecca. And the lady, she was astounded. Who does that? Christians do that. It used to be done all the time. Not perfectly, but a lot more than it is now. And even among Christians, it's astounding to me. You look at Facebook, and if you look at a Christian's Facebook page and a non-Christian's Facebook page, good luck telling the difference in most cases. Not all the time. And I know I'm painting with a broad brush, but even in Christian circles, this is definitely okay. I mean, you wouldn't drive a car without, right? Oh, come on. You don't. Sex sin is sex sin. God didn't change. I don't care what the culture's doing. Nothing like that changes. And by the way, I mean, have you thought this all the way through again? So much of this is just you don't think. Isn't that a gift you want to unwrap on your wedding night? And that, now people are getting married, and it's nothing special. The honeymoon is nothing. Maybe it's tropical. I don't know. There's nothing to it. There's no... That's sad. And again, will God forgive us for anything? Yeah, of course he forgives. But that doesn't unring the bell. That doesn't... There's still only one first time, and now it's gone. Extramarital, right out. You're stealing somebody else's spouse. And thou shalt not steal. Don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. This is where we ended up last week. Don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. Well, you can cheat on your taxes because it's my money anyway, and they really have no right to. I've talked to people, Christians, who have looked me right in the eye and said that and meant every word of it. Our ability to rationalize is astounding. We do that better than we do most anything. No, pay your taxes. Now, I have one of those programs, and it takes you through step by step. And if there's anything that's really kind of gray, and you look and you try to find all the answers, and you can call it on your behalf because you really don't know, and you want to call it on your behalf, I always do. I'm not lying. I'm not getting audited and going and standing there and saying like, I mean, I inside, it's my usually, I don't go into that. There's no reason for it. You remember I was talking last week, so the guy steals, right? Hey, don't touch any of the stuff. You're going to, they're taking over Jericho. Don't steal anything. It's the Lord's. It's devoted, these things. And so this Achan, he steals a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold. Where is it? It's in a hole under his tent. Why do you want to own something that you have to hide in a hole under your tent? That's how stealing is. I got to remember, where did I steal this from anyway? And if that guy ever finds out, boy, my name's Mud, and I just buy it. Then you have a sales receipt. You sleep nights. It's beautiful. Live God's way. It's so much better, right? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, we didn't talk about this at all last week. Okay, so your wife comes home from the beauty parlor. Okay, women, you check out. Just us married guys, okay, going to talk about this hair a little bit. She comes home from the beauty parlor, and her hair looks like, oh, my goodness. Looks like a cow with an overbite was grazing on her head, and you're just thinking, ugh, I can't believe I have to look at her for... Now, she says, well, how do you like my new do? And you say, ugh, do you comb it out with, like, a rake or firecrackers or, ugh, it looks hard. Now everyone's crying and everyone's upset. You're sleeping on the sofa, maybe my sofa for that matter. And what do we do in a situation like that? We have this thing, by the way. My wife is a really good cook. I've said that before, right? Do I look like she's a good cook? I mean, okay, I'm losing a little weight, but I've always looked like she's a really good cook. She's a good cook. She tries a lot of stuff, okay? She's always trying new things. And usually, yay, this is wonderful. Okay, add this to the lineup. This is good because she knows what she likes. She knows what I like. If you look at the list of ingredients, you can pretty much figure out that you're going to like it. And that's usually, and every once in a while, it didn't come out the way we wanted. Every, what, 1 in 25, 1 in 30 meals-ish? I don't keep score, right? Every new thing she tries, something like this. I say, I want the right to be able to be an adult. We can look and say, honey, not my favorite. I don't want to hurt her feelings. One, she takes care of me. You know what a blessing it is to come into the house to smell, oh, garlic. Oh, what is that? What is that? And she goes, oh, it's pesto. I'm, oh, no, tonight's going to be a good night. You know what a blessing that is? So I don't want to, like, squash her spirit and say, this is horrible. I hate this. This is nasty. What'd you? But I want to be able to say, to be honest and say, not my favorite. And so we have this situation, and we laugh about it, right? But it happens so infrequently. And usually, I can't remember a time where I'm saying, this I don't love, and you're saying, oh, but I think it's wonderful. Usually we both kind of don't. You're saying, it just didn't come out exactly how I... But I want to tell you again, this is rare and extreme. I just want you to understand it. And I want that, like, filter in this because I want to be able to be honest. And I don't want to have something that I hate all the time. And hate is probably stronger than I really want to say, because usually it's like, she makes something so good, it's like, this one is like, most people would say, oh, this is wonderful. In my world, once you get this class up here and you're like in that rarefied air, you don't want to go back down a, you know, I was going to say a restaurant. No, I don't think that's the one. See, when people hear, it's funny, because when we moved here, when people talk about a good restaurant, they mean oval plates, loaded up with grease dripping off it. It's a wonderful place to eat. And we always laugh at that because, like, yikes. And we laugh at, see, we laugh at you guys. Not all the time. Yeah. Nobody's coming to church after tonight. No, because when we moved to Maine and people here think salt is a spice. No, I mean, it's Yankee pot roast, which I love. But people, I think, beanhole beans, this is like, it doesn't get any better than this. I'm like, it's still beans, right? And I like beans. And I like brown bread. I like that. I mean, I really, really do. But that's not like, okay, they're coming to get me here and they're going to electrocute me in a half hour. I need beanhole beans and brown bread. Okay, that's my last meal. It's not like that, okay? And I always think like, so I want to be able to tell the truth. I want to be able to say, your hair, nah. I want to, so you know what I do is like when I like something, I'm thinking, oh, that dress there, that's nice. You look smoking. You're really fine in that. I like to tell her those things so that she kind of gravitates towards that. And I'm never saying, yikes, ugh, get rid of the potato sack, honey. That looks horrible. And she, you know her, you know she doesn't dress horrible. You know, she's very tasteful and stuff like this, but I just want to be able to tell people the truth. And it's really, really hard to try to pick your words in such and such a way. You ever see an ugly baby? No, they're all beautiful, of course. Your pastor can't say, that's an ugly baby. And I wouldn't even do that. Say, look at this little guy, and I just, you know, hold him and... and coo with him and stuff like that. But people ask me that, and ask me stuff like point blank, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to lie. And God, give me the way around this, because I'm not after hurting anybody's feelings ever about anything. I'm very like simpatical. I understand people have feelings. And so I'm always kind of sensitive to that. And then, okay, having said all that, don't gossip. Well, it's the truth. I don't care. Shut up. Don't gossip anyway. We don't have any secrets, me and Suze, except all the ones people tell me. Sometimes people tell me stuff, and it's as like in a pastor, and they understand. So she'll say, what was Fred talking? And don't be hitting Fred. What was Fred talking to you about? I say, yeah, that's stuff that you probably don't need knowing. She understands. She was in ministry too when she was in First Step, and I would never ask anything that, you know, there's some things have to be sacrosanct, something that have to be like, I know I don't have the collar on backwards and they don't call me father, but there's kind of a, you know how you go to the confessional and priest would get electrocuted before he ever slipped and gave up what was, because it's the sacredness of that. And I get that. And I let people know that, you know, hey, whatever you're saying, I've seen you and me. I'm taking this to the grave with me. And having said that, we don't have any secrets, you know, other than those type of things. Don't bear false witness means holding the truth, suppressing the truth. It means don't slam people's reputation. A lot of churches are okay with gossip. And they call it prayer requests. I'm just sharing so you'll know how to pray better. I'll call you on that every time. You will not get away with that around here. And we've had people going and, you know, confronting, and because somebody said, no, you have nasty things to say about somebody, say them to them. Someone tried to come and tell me about something. If I see it's going that way, wait. What did he say when you told him? Well, I didn't tell him. Oh, bep. You want to do that first. You want to take care of that first. We do that, right? That's a pretty important thing. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. This, the rest of the world is. You don't want to be. Satan is. Every chance he gets, he's putting you down in front of God. Every chance he gets. That's what he does. He's the accuser of the brethren. So we're doing Satan's work when we start, you know, mouthing off, tearing each other down. We wouldn't want to do that. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. What about perfect strangers? No. What about someone who's in political office? Can I say this last president, he did some things that I found objectionable. Is that fair game, or am I... No, I think you can say that. Here in America, you can say, I don't agree with these policies. Listen, I never met Bill Clinton, okay? What goes on in his heart, I don't know. I know Barack Obama with some of his policies, pro-choice policies, I had a real problem with as a Christian. His celebration of homosexuality, I thought he was a religious man, said he was. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. But I don't want to, you know, do I want to start, you know, calling him out as a dad, as a husband, I don't know that. I don't know any of those things. So we have to, you know, you say it's a fine needle, a thread. I know. You can look at people's policies, but don't attack the person. Some people say things about our president, and I just like, really? You're just poisoning the water. Your guy's going to get in next, maybe, but everyone's all hostile now and stuff, and the country is so polarized. We're all Americans, and I've never seen it like this. I mean, I've really never seen. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. But it's never been this fractured. I said this morning, you give our president one more chance to fill one more vacancy of the Supreme Court, and you watch the fireworks. The next one is not going easy. You thought Brett Kavanaugh was something. You see, and I want that to happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not rooting for anyone's death. Please. I want that to happen, but it's going to be Okay, thou shalt not covet. Period. Any questions? And you can, now the list is thy neighbor's house. Oh, you got a real good house. I wish I had. No, God's given you your house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, because that leads to adultery. And you, even in your thought life, you don't do that. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. His stuff is his stuff. If you get the promotion and you get the big salary and you're doing good and you come up with a nice new truck and you buy a nice house and you, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah for you. I mean, don't be petty, don't be small. Rejoice with those who rejoice. So when people, and buying a new vehicle here is kind of a, it's a big thing, isn't it? Still, I don't know. It's just to me. I bought two? No, three. Okay, I bought three. All for her, you know. I didn't buy a new car for me. That's ridiculous. But I buy her a new car. And it's very like, yay, yeah. I hope nobody's jealous. I hope nobody's like that petty. I mean, I'd hate to think that. We want to be happy for people. We don't want to be, you know, oh, it should be me. It should be mine. How come you never bless me, Lord? Forget about it. I'm just not a materialistic person anyway. I'm just not. You know, if I want something, I generally got it. And if you looked at my stuff, I don't have a lot of... If somebody broke into my house and he took all the stuff I had that was of any value, I'd be my wife. I mean, other than that, it's like nothing that couldn't be replaced real easy. He took my TV or something like that. I don't have no, like, this here, no. My house, no. No. I mean, I don't have anything. I really don't. And it's not like because we don't... couldn't afford, don't want, I just don't care about stuff. I'm just not a stuff guy. You know, going to leave it all behind. It's all earmarked for destruction. I know some people that are, you know, into the best, newest, fanciest, works. And that's why guys have, you know, socks they wore in high school and stuff. We still got them because we're like that, right? Because we're ridiculous and we... It's only got two holes in it. I'm fine. You give me them right back. She's trying to make a paint rag out of my shirt. Get out of there. Don't do that. And don't covet. Don't covet. Don't. Just recalibrate. Lord, I'm glad for that person. And it don't. And all the people. Okay. Remember, that we looked at this last week. Chapter 19, verse 25. For Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Where's Moses? He's down speaking to the people. And then we have the Ten Commandments. How do we get them if Moses went up on the mountain? Well, God's speaking them. Verse 18, all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. Nobody's running up the mountain. Why? It's called the fear of God. I get this. Don't we love God? Yeah. And doesn't perfect love casteth out fear? Yeah, I know that verse too. So how do we fear God and love him? That's a funny one. I have a dad, well, he's gone, like I say, that I had a fear of, a healthy respect for, and I loved him. When my mother said, wait till your father comes home, she didn't mean that as a blessing. I was nerved up, and I did love my dad. So I understand that. But here, it's like, because he's saying the commandments, people are hearing it, there's thunder, the smoke, and they said to Moses, speak thou unto us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. He's been speaking to them the whole time. And they're all saying, look, if there's an 11th commandment, we've had it, you go talk to him. Yeah, I get it. He's God. His voice and rings and mountains shake, and it says the hinds calve, or whatever hinds do. And, you know, the voice of God. And they're all hearing it, and they're all having a kitten, I'm sure, and whatever. And they're saying, look at what their thing is. The mountain's smoking, there's thunder, there's lightning, they're hearing the trumpet. What's that? Is that the voice of God? The noise of the trumpet? I don't know. You know, there's going to be a trumpet when 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, the sound of the trumpet, right? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you go talk to them. We've had enough, okay? And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Most often repeated command in Scripture. For God has come to prove you, to test you is the idea, right? And that his fear may be before your faces that you sin not. That's the problem. That's the problem. You talk to somebody about the fear of God who doesn't go to church, they live outside, they're like, God doesn't exist. Talk to them about the fear of God, and they would look at you like, psh, why would I fear God? Like, why would I fear the tooth fairy? This is about the same tone of voice, you know? They have no fear of God. Then they feel like they can break any commandment they want. They'll fear him at some point, but I always feel like that point's going to be too late, and it breaks my heart when I think about him, because people have the same last name as me, friends of mine, people I've known, I work with. No fear of God whatsoever. And so it's not, listen, I know this. So Jesus died for all my sins. So no matter which one I commit, it's under the blood. Correct or incorrect? Correct. So let's go sin up a storm. Right? I've had this said to me so many times. Let's go sin up a storm. We got a free get out of jail card. Literally. We got a free get out of hell card. You can sin and sin and sin. And you know, here's the other part about it. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Whew. That's quite a, right? Let's go for it. It never pays out, does it? Satan promises, but he never delivers. It's never what we suppose it was going to be. It's not going to increase our, you know what would be really cool? It wouldn't be. No matter how we get, this is Satan, you know. He promises Eve, he's going to be just like God. You're going to know good and evil. It's going to be great, man. What else did he tell her? Hey, God's just holding you back anyway. Now, if she could see what happened and she could roll back time to before, you think she'd do it twice? No, but none of us would. So we've eaten the forbidden fruit of whatever flavor, and then we have the mouth full of gravel, and we're thinking, this didn't taste nearly so good as I thought it was going to. Will God forgive? Oh, yeah, that's less than foregone conclusions. But I still got all these rocks in my mouth. Now what am I going to do? I guess spit them out and start again. I still got cracked teeth and dirt in my mouth and everything. What was I thinking? Why did I think this was a good idea? God's like, here, play inside this little penned up area. Oh, outside here, traffic, wolves, bad things. Don't play out here. Play here because he's a loving Heavenly Father. I don't want you to abstain from sex. I just want you to abstain from sex outside of marriage. Isn't his ways good? Oh, God, thank you for this. I didn't ruin my life. I didn't have children everywhere all over the planet. Yay, thank you, God. I'm not paying child support for 10 different women who I hate. I don't have to see all my kids all the time. Can God redeem? Yes. Can God forgive? Of course he can. Do I want to mess up my life to prove it? No. No. We always do it God's way. It always comes out better. Yeah, don't let God speak to us anymore. No, he just wants to prove you. He just wants you to fear him. The attitude you have now, that's a good thing, because then you're not going to sin. The people, once you get away from this, because, we're in a hot spot, and we're dealing with God. Oh God, if you get me out of this hot spot, I'll never. And then he does very often because he's God, and then we forget, and then we go back to the dog eating his vomit again. Just not very smart. And this is the Israel in the wilderness. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Here I think Moses ascends the mountain. And I don't think he's yelling down to the people. I think this is where he goes up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, because God's not talking to them anymore. They didn't want to hear it. You let him talk to you, and you tell us, okay? Now, God saying, okay, fair enough, because the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Now, did he say, okay, you see how I talk to you, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. No, I think still, look at if you figure this one out, I'm God, you're not. Don't invent new gods. Don't reinvent me. Don't do that. I think we're so much farther ahead of the game. Now, verse 24 is very telling. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. One word only. Define what use an altar has. Sacrifice. Look, here's my commandments. I don't want you to take my name in vain. I don't want you to do this. Definitely not this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Oh, yeah. By the way, when you build an altar, oh, no. Does God know us or not? We're going to need an altar, aren't we? We just are. And now he's going to give us, after here we go into, they're going to build the tabernacle. Why? Their place of sacrifice. Because the wages of sin is death. That goes back to the Garden of Eden. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Oh yeah, by the way, you're going to need to know something else. Okay, when you make an altar, I just think that's kind of comical in a weird way. He knows us. He knows who we are. He knows how we are. Jesus is going to come. He's going to die on an altar of wood. He's going to be the sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice. Until then, people need a sense of forgiveness, a sense of being clean. Can sheep and goats take away your sin? No. No. We learn that in the book of Hebrews. If the blood of sheep or goats can never take away sin. If so, why do the offerings have to keep being repeated? If it worked, it would have worked. You know what I mean? But no, every year there's another Yom Kippur. Every year, morning and evening, there are sacrifices. So you steal from your neighbor, whatever, and then you found out you have to restore twofold, fourfold. I can't remember. And then there's a sacrifice, a sin offering. Besides that, why? Because you messed up. You get to go to the priest and say, "Yeah, I messed up." You put your hands on the goat, right? The sheep, the bull. Throat is slit. Your hands on his transference. It's like identity with, laying on of hands. It's like, I know this should be me, but it's not. Something has to die because you sinned. That should be a stark reminder of the wages of sin is death. The sinner, the person bringing the sheep, is never examined. The sheep is examined. You get some funky three-legged sheep, here, I'm going to offer this to God, and God won't accept it. It has to be without blemish, because the picture of Jesus Christ, the sheep is examined. Why isn't the sinner examined? It's a foregone conclusion. They're not without sin. They're not without spot. That's why they got a goat or a Levitical animal with them for sacrifice. It's a foregone conclusion. They're not without spot. But the offering is a picture of Jesus Christ. It has to be without spot. When you build an altar, thou shalt make unto me, thou shalt sacrifice thereupon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. If you make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, no brick. You say, why? I think people can build, I see people make a brick fireplace or a brick, like a barbecue out in the back. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Why would God not want you to do that? Because it's beautiful. Because it's not what you do. It's not what you build. Don't take hewn stones, and you take a pile of stones, you like rocks. It's not your how well you pile up hewn stones. Okay, you're not taking a big rock and chiseling it into his beautiful altar. Don't do that. Why? Yeah, it's like now it's your activity more than it's the sacrifice. The sacrifice is the thing, right? It's an old wooden cross. It's not. He hath no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. And it's certainly not any of our work or our activity. Certainly not. And here I think it's saying that. And it says this several places throughout Scripture. Neither shalt thou go up by steps upon mine altar, build it way up high, and you do this big ascension thing, that thy nakedness be not discovered. The way you guys dress, no, it's talking about ankle flesh. That's the word nakedness there, I was told. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Ankle flesh, something wrong with somebody's ankles? Yeah, it's flesh. It's just flesh. I think that's the picture. It's not you. It's not what you're doing. It's not about you. It's not, look at my beautiful offering. Look at my beautiful me, how beautiful I am. Look at my beautiful altar that I built. It's about the sacrifice. And we bring it on a pile of stones, as it were. Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up again. The sacrifice is inspected. And then we'll more of this is develop as we go along. Were you surprised to find? Tell me this. Did you know that Exodus chapter 20 ended this way? Oh, y'all knew it? y'all didn't know it. Okay, that's fair enough. Isn't that surprising? Here's the Ten Commandments. Oh, yeah, by the way, when you mess up, but don't mess up again. There's a way to fix your mess up. Don't dig the hole deeper. First rule of holes, stop digging, right? Don't make it worse. This is what I want you to do. Hey, we don't have altars. We don't worry about ankle flesh. We don't care about rocks piled up because we ain't doing that, right? No, none of that stuff. It's not incumbent upon us, obviously. Don't bring a lamb in here. Try to have me butcher it. Forget about it. Nobody does that. Nobody's ever going to do that. I know that. Why don't we? Because it's all about Jesus and what he did, and it's always about the sacrifice. It's always about the... And I'm very happy to point people to Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, I did this, and I did this, and I... What do you think I'm Father Adam or something like that? I get it. You're a knucklehead like me? Oh, surprise me. I didn't know. I thought you were perfect. And I'm quick to point out, Jesus is forgiving. Why are we talking about that still? That happened. That's so ancient history. Well, it happened 15 minutes ago. That's my point. Why are we living in the past? His blessings are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay? Well, I did this and I did that. Well, if confess our faults one another, if you really want to tell me about it, okay, I'll listen. At the end, I'll tell you the same thing. Confess that, right? It's under the blood. Learn from, the only thing I want to do for, learn do, from my mistakes, I want somebody to keep putting my nose in it. Look at you, you're this, I know it. You don't know half of it. But God forgives. And your sins and your iniquities, I'll remember no more. You think I want to just make you feel poorly all the time? Listen, the best of us, the very best of us, don't play games with me, I know who we are. If your life, the dark ugly was up on these TVs right now, we'd all just close our eyes and crawl out of here. Whose life would stand? It wouldn't be pretty at all. But we're not about that. God's not about that. Even when you mess up and he busts you, and he brings you to conviction. Does he do that privately for the most part? Almost all the time. And you have to run through a lot of stop signs to have it done publicly. He'll do it publicly. If you make him, you force him to. But he's not really interested in making you a great bad example. Usually he'll just tell you personally, and you have opportunity just like, you're right, Lord, you're right, I'm messing up, forgive me. Well, what will happen then? He'll forgive you. It's all under the blood, even the ones that you haven't asked forgiveness for yet, it's all under the blood. But I think we clear the air. I think it's a good thing. You know, I always say it like this, okay? So I sin against Suze by treating her poorly for forgetting Groundhog's Day. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. But let's just say something like that, right? And then, you know, she gives me this nice Groundhog's Day gift, and I don't get her anything. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, honey, I'm sorry. Are we not married or something? No, of course we're married. But if I messed up, I really want to clear the air. And I'm sorry about that. And she said, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It's okay. I know, you're a knucklehead. We get it. And now we move on with our lives. We clear the air, okay? I think that's what we do with the Lord. So we sin, right? You cuss somebody out because they, I don't know, you were in the, trying to get that sale item and they grabbed that last one. And no, that's the last one. I don't get it now. And you idiot. And now you feel bad and you think, I shouldn't have called him an idiot. And right? Is God not your father? No, but you still want to clear the air. You still want to, Lord, those attitudes are wrong. I shouldn't have that attitude. And always do that. Always do it. Keep real short accounts. When you find yourself at odds with God, like, I didn't do this right. I didn't handle this right. Ask forgiveness. I don't think it changes. Like, we're saved, and we sin, now we're out. Now we ask forgiveness, and we're in. Now we sin, we're out. And we ask forgiveness, and we're in. A lot of people think that way. I never have. I'm sorry. I don't even. Okay, am I saved today or not? I got to, all right, Lord, if I die, make sure, okay? Just everything I've done up to this point. That's just ridiculous. I don't know why people think like that. He's so much more willing to forgive us than we are to ask for forgiveness. And the forgiveness thing, I want him to fuel me in my heart in such a way. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be free from that. Not like, all right, now, I mean, because I used to go to Catholic confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 5 weeks since my last confession. These are my sins, and I pour out my laundry list day. He says, all right, cool, say two Hail Marys, you're all set. So I go out, and I kneel in front of the statuary, and I say a couple Hail Marys, whew, squeaky clean, that's great. And then I sin again. Oh, I messed up, I was good, and now I don't know anymore, now it's so bad. And now, really, I have no, the Bible knows nothing of that. Yeah, confess your faults to one another, yeah. Especially if it involves you, I ran you down, I said bad things about you, I should never have done that. Now I want to come and tell you, and so you have opportunity to actually forgive me. I didn't understand. I thought I knew, and I didn't. I said that. We should clear the air about that. Always, when we have issues among ourselves. Never. Don't let that stuff. What's more important than our relationships? Our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, right? As far as Jesus is concerned, the two most important commandments. And by the way, so we learned God's top ten, right? So now we have God in the flesh comes among us. And he said, the lawyer comes to him, what's the most important commandment? Obviously, don't commit adultery, right? No. Everyone thinks so. Oh, I never cheat on my wife. I never kill anyone. Jesus says, no, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I wouldn't argue with Jesus. You'll be wrong. I'll be wrong. He'll be right.